Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Chris on IMTM Worldwide Radio, and this is Around the ATL. This is our 2022 NFL Draft Show. Can't wait to get started. It's been a long offseason. It's been a very interesting offseason, to say the least. And we still might have some surprises tomorrow night. You never know. 646-652-4479 is the phone number. So before we get started, now, I'm going to do an abbreviated version of what I used to do as far as intros, because tonight we're just talking football for the most part for 2 hours. So shout out to Atlanta Bird Gang, Dirty Bird Nation, Falcons Nation on Facebook, some of the Falcons football groups that are really popular out there. Also the New Pack City, even though that's a Hawks group, they know about me. They know who I am. So welcome to those who might be watching and listening in later on. I actually know somebody who's at work and is going to try to call in, so I already got a heads up on that already. Also, shout out to the Originator Brand. So tonight, this is what I was going to do. I was going to have my Falcons hat, and I was going to have a white shirt, and I was going to have a black tie, you know, kind of have some of the Falcons colors on, but then I was like, no, not feeling great, so I don't know if I could do a long sleeve shirt for 2 hours. So I said, let me throw on a t-shirt. So just to kind of get some good vibes, and I have a real cool shirt from the Originative brand on Instagram. Let me go ahead and pull that up real quick for y'all. If you want something custom and Atlanta-centric in regards to sports, make sure you go to the Originative brand on Instagram. Hit up Jamal Price. Let him know Around the ATL sent you. But this is my Braves championship shirt, if you can see it. It's really cool. Said I was going to wear it. So it got a little championship vibe going for our Falcons tonight. See if we can have the best draft ever, because that's basically what we're going to have to try to get all this stuff worked out with this offseason that we are having. 646-652-4479. And we are waiting for our co-host, and I will be waiting for him to join us in a moment. So some of the things that we're going to talk about, I guess I can do this real quick. So first and foremost, we can chat on the following subjects. What will be the impact of Matt Ryan not being here? Kind of obvious, he's not here anymore, right? So what will be the impact? Who is the possible quarterback of the future for the Falcons? Now, myself, I'm going ahead and say it. I didn't even look at quarterback tonight because I don't feel that at the eighth spot we should do it, because we just have too many other holes to fill at the end of the day for us to really go that route. So I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. I say nay to that. All right. So another topic we can talk about tonight, if I can find it, let's see. And there we go. This is it. What do you think about the free agents that the Falcons signed? okay? Because we did sign some people to fill in some gaps, some holes, some needs. And will these free agents basically affect the draft overall? So those are some questions that we can, you know, tackle. Oh, actually, there is one more. Almost forgot. How will a second year of Dean Pease play into this year's draft? Remember, one of the things he said last year was he just doesn't have the pieces to throw out his whole defensive scheme like he would want to. So can that, you know, play a part as far as who we're actually going to draft? And I guess the most important one, at number 8, who do you get? So that being said, let's go ahead and bring in our co-host, Mr. Jordan Jackson, is in the house. Let's get him involved. Good evening, sir. How are you doing tonight? Uh-oh. I think you're on mute. There you go.
Here we go. Hey, we should be good now. What's going on, Chris, man? I'm doing all right. Just real tired, man. Been ripping and running, not to mention the, you know, the mental anguish from certain debacles that's been taking place.
I don't even know what you're talking about. So, you know, actually,
I just want to notice, and hopefully nobody takes offense to the old symbol, but I am wearing a hat of a champion right here. I'm just going back to that point to be noted.
Yeah, so you know I'm gonna have to do this. There you go. So because we gotta try to come up. I'm trying to come up with everything I can. Oh, here we go.
Bobo, baby.
Thanks, Chauncey. I'm trying to erase everything that I can as far as what has transpired. So we might broach it. I'm not going to promise anything. I kind of told him that we weren't before you came on. 646-652-4479. Definitely going to be a Falcon-centric show as much as possible, but hey, we'll see. But Jordan, what I was doing was kind of going over some of the possible topics we could go over. One of them, you can see right there, number 8, who do you get? What will be the impact of Matt Ryan not being here? Will the Falcons be able to build a contender? And let's see. Uh-oh, that's the wrong one. Those are just a few. We can get into that. What do you think about the free agents that the Falcons signed? And how will a second year of Dean Pease play into the draft? So those are just a few topics we can kind of delve into. But what I want to do first is I kind of want to talk about the free agents part because, of course, this offseason has been changed with the taking away of Matt Ryan, obviously, right? So what we thought we were going to be doing as far as trying to continue improving the team from a year ago and a year ago before that and the win total and everything and still trying to piece things around to where we can have a competitive team, that whole essence was taken away with Matt being gone. So now it's a matter of we really are piecing things together as we go, basically. So I do want to kind of talk about the free agents a little bit. So let me see if I can find that real quick. So here are some of the free agents, okay, that we signed. So, of course, we had to get a quarterback, okay? So we got Marcus Mariota or Mariota, whatever the pronunciation, he's here, okay? Good gracious, I'll tell you what. All right, so we also, at tight end, we have Anthony Firster. I might be pronouncing that wrong, I'm not sure. We got Sean Evans at linebacker, Lorenzo Carter as an edge rusher. We re-signed Cordero Patterson because he said he wanted to be here. We got Casey Hayward Jr. at cornerback. We re-signed Eric Harris, and we have Damian Williams as a running back. Now, outside looking in, they might not look like, you know, the world beater free agent that you think you would want to get, but per our situation money-wise and piecing together things and whatnot, you know, we're going to find out value-wise. First of all, you always never underestimate the passion of a player as far as wanting to prove something, obviously, right? But for the needs analysis part of it, do some of these players actually fill a hole or a gap that we really needed to be able to fill, and will they be able to contribute? So out of those free agents right off the bat, Jordan, what do you think about any of them? We already know what CP can bring to the table. We already know what he's ready to do, but how about some of the other ones? Are any of them standing out to you as far as, okay, this position right here, definitely is going to help us out for 2022?
The first one that comes to mind is Mr. Casey Hayward, veteran cornerback, definitely has good instinct, has good technique, has a nose for the football. I think he'll help a lot just for the simple fact that, for one, who is replacing? Okay, Fabian Moreau was not a very good football player. But at the same time, A.J. Terrell is an outstanding football player. When you have those two guys coupled with Mr. Oliver coming back next season, who was playing very well prior to injury, and he was primarily playing the slot cornerback role. So it works out perfectly where you have Hayward and Terrell on the outside and have Oliver playing the slot role. That in itself, you know, we always talk about how pass rush and coverage go hand in hand. So that in itself, having three guys that you trust a little bit more to cover should definitely help, especially, like I said, compared to what we had going on last year, and then particularly the last half of last year when Oliver and some of the other guys went down. The other guy I'm looking at is Rashawn Evans, linebacker, former University of Alabama Crimson Tide player. You know that team that we won the national championship. But he was a former high first-round draft pick. Trying to see if I could look up some of his numbers from college. That's what I was doing here. But he's a 6'3", 234-pound linebacker. Not a pass rush linebacker, more of your run-stuffing linebacker, more of your guy in our 3-4 defense that would play one of the two middle backer spots, which is important because we lost Foye Oluokun. And that's not to say that I'm expecting Rashawn Evans to come right in and start, because I do think Mikael Walker, who's been with the organization a couple of years now, draft pick we've been grooming, he's shown flashes when he's got snaps on the field. So I think he probably has the inside track to start next to Debo. But should he falter, or should either one of those two guys get injured, and even with both of them healthy, you know, in a situation where it's a goal line situation, a run stuffing situation, I think we could see Evans make an impact. So among all the guys we signed, those would be my top two.
Okay. Well, definitely the combination of Hayward, Oliver, and AJ is going to make a difference just on the defensive side because of scheme. It's less people wide, doggone open now. So that's going to give that whatever we have on pass rush, again, just another second to maybe not let that quarterback make eggs and bacon and pecan waffles like I got from Waffle House the other night. So that's going to be something right there for sure. Myself, I feel that we're going to have to see on the running back side, you know, with Patterson coming back, I'm not sure what Damian Williams will bring to the table, but this is who we have right now as far as the running back core. We have Mike Davis still on the roster, Caleb Huntley, we have Allison still, Patterson we just mentioned, and also Damian Williams, okay? So if we made no draft picks at running back, how comfortable are we going into this season with this is our running game right now? Now, for most part, I believe everybody kind of feels that Mike Davis is probably not going to be on the roster probably too much longer. I don't know. He's still there. It's the day before the draft, and he's still on the roster. I don't know. But I just don't think he lends any value. So, you know, with – on the free agent side, Patterson, are we going to have him exclusively as the running back getting majority of the snaps, or are we going to still play him as, you know, X-Man, so to speak? You know, and then with Damian being another free agent that we signed, what does he bring to the table? And really what it comes down to is who's fighting for what spots? Because it's almost as if, you know, that's a lot of running backs as it is, and do we really have – running backs that, again, we feel like can go out there and get us 5 yards a carry as often as we really need rather than 2.2 yards a carry, which is what we were, you know, pretty much used to. Because with that being said, what do we do with the draft? And that's what we'll be talking about in a second. So That's a little bit from just me right now, because on the tight end side, I won't put too much into that right now. Lorenzo Carter, I know he did have some sacks, and, you know, as far as this, a possible fill-in or just depth, I can see that possibly as far as helping us out a little bit. Eric Harris being at safety this year, who knows? Again, we'll just have to see how that pans out.
Going to mention Lorenzo Carter, the Georgia Bulldog. He has 4 sacks in his last 5 games, which could potentially signal a breakout at the end of his tenure there with the Giants. Now, you know, if he's over there and he's the only pass rusher added, I think it'd be much harder for him to have an impact. You know, if defenses say, well, he's probably the best they got, so let's focus on chipping him and pay some attention to him. But I think if we get a pass rusher in the draft, someone that, you know, draws some level of attention, I think Lorenzo Carter could be a very good compliment. And you mentioned Anthony Fersker earlier, the former Tennessee Titans tight end. I do think you have a role on this football team with the retirement of Lee Smith, our number two, basically our number, well, you could say he was number 3 tight end last year, but he was basically the main blocking tight end. But he also caught a couple touchdowns. So with Lee Smith retiring, I think you could see, you will see Fersker have a role, given that he's familiar, Arthur Smith is familiar with him, and he's familiar with Arthur Smith, and he is a guy who can, you know, catch the balls for you around the red zone, particularly when a lot of times, you know, at number 2 tight end, they often don't get him a lot of attention. The next day, you know, they're catching the touchdown in the flat or being hit wide open in the back of the end zone on a play fake.
Yeah. 646-652-4479. Let's check, make sure we don't have any callers yet. All right, cool. So let's get into it a little bit now. So how will the second year of Dean Pease play into the draft? So we're going to start talking on the defensive side a little bit. We can go on the offensive side and talk about the disappearance of Matt Ryan from the team and everything a little bit later. But just for starters, how will that second year of Dean Pease play into the draft? What do you think, Jordan?
I just think that Terry Fontenot will continue to try to bring in more of the style players that Dean Pease likes. Whether that be someone who can rush the passer, so to add to his blitz packages, you know, because it makes the blitz packages even better when you got a team double-teaming a guy on the edge. And so you can send a blitzer right in behind him all the time. He can get freed up. I think you'll see more versatile coverage type guys, both in the secondary as well as at the linebacker position, possibly even, you know, one more coverage type linebacker being targeted later rounds, because I think one of the reasons why Mr. Pease said he couldn't completely unleash his defense is the fact that he did not fully trust the guys covered, and he felt that if he would have sent the house and have, you know, cover 0 with no kind of safety over the top, then we'd have just been getting toasted all day long. And so
which is why we never gave up any long plays all year, too.
Right. We didn't give up as many long plays, but it was more because Pease was being conservative. And, you know, and Pease is the type of guy, he'll rather give up. I mean, you know, obviously you never want to give up a long play, but he knows if you play very aggressive, it's going to happen here and there. But we only had, if I'm not mistaken, one of the 18 quarterback sacks total last year, Chris. And that's not going to cut it. That's historically awful. It's bad. And like I said, the coverage will help that, but you also got to get more guys that can get there and get home. And I think if you have more guys like that, you'll see Dean Pease step up his aggressiveness more and more.
Great point. I think that we're at that point where we need to find out what he's still here. He ain't retired. So he's taking this real serious. And again, he has to play with what he got, right? It's just like anybody else. But I feel that we did make some leaps and some turns from one season ago till last year immediately. And I feel that as we continue to get pieces, I think it'll get even better. It'll just be a matter of now the person at the top has changed. So that being said, number 8, who to get? You got first crack at it.
Oh, man. I mean, That's a difficult question, obviously, because when you're picking at number eight, you don't know exactly who's going to be there. So, I mean, honestly, I have, and it really doesn't make any sense, but I guess just in case something happens and, you know, one of somebody, you know, decide to get arrested the night before the draft.
Oh, here it goes.
You know what I mean? I got nine guys, basically, that I would be okay with the Falcons taking with eight picks. But instead of going through all nine guys, I'll just start with a couple of guys that I don't want the Falcons to take at number eight.
Okay, that's fair.
One in particular, and this is not going to be popular with a lot of people, but he's the safety, and he's from the Atlanta area, from Notre Dame, Kyle Hamilton. And it's not because I don't think he's a good football player. I mean, you know, some places have him graded as one of the higher graded football players in this entire draft. But number one, we just drafted a safety in the second round of Richard Grant last year. Now, he's more of your coverage type safety that plays deep more. Hamilton is versatile. He can do both. But if you got one that's deep, that means when you want to bring one up the line of scrimmage, it's going to be Hamilton if you have. But the problem with that is when you look at the career of guys that play that position, particularly the safety, that plays in the box a lot, but also some of the guys that drop back. You know, everybody from Bob Sanders to what's my guy's name from Seattle? I don't know. Oh, gosh, I can't call it. Earl Thomas. You're seeing a lot of those guys' careers be quite short because of the violent style of football they play. And I give you two examples right here with Atlanta. He's still playing, but Keanu Neal did not last here very long at all. And it wasn't because he couldn't play football. It's because he played so violently, he was always banging himself up while knocking other people out in the process.
Yeah.
And all I got to do is go back one more, start safety before him. Willie Moe, he was always ready until he wasn't. You know what I mean? And it was due to injury. When he wasn't ready, that's why he wasn't, because injury took their toll on him. So that would be the first guy I would say that I really prefer not to take in the draft. Other than that, there's only one quarterback that I would like to take. And so I'll get into that in a minute, but quarterback is my favorite thing to take in this draft, but there's one I wouldn't be upset with, I put it that way. And the rest, I wouldn't want the Falcons to go there. And the other thing I do not want to take at number eight is a wide receiver, period. Period. Because, yeah, we need receivers. I understand we got the brother and version of Pete Rose on our team, who was suspended for a whole season. But I just feel like we have built on a finesse style for too many years. We prioritize positions like wide receiver, trading up to get guys and all of that. Not to say that all those moves were bad, but we need to build from the inside out for a change. We need to fortify the trenches. So that's why I would not want to take a wide receiver.
646-652-4479. So I'm going to go the opposite way as far as how you kind of led off there, because – Like you said, we have no idea who's going to be there at the end of the day by the time eight comes, but we know what our needs are. Okay, so it'll get down to if they're there, we need to seriously consider it. So I feel that our biggest need is the pass rush. You mentioned it earlier, 18 sacks. Heck, I could have got 5 sacks myself. Let me stop. So at a certain point, I'm just throwing that out there, everybody. Sign me, somebody. So here's what I feel that, and just as me going through it and changing my mind a few times and then kind of wishing on a star type of a deal, right? So I have kind of come up with, if we keep the number 8 pick, let's just throw that out there, mess up everything in the world. I think Kayvon from Oregon, I feel is going to end up being the guy. I feel that. Or, because you know what we were talking about before, UGA. Let's do this better, you know, because they are the national champions as of right now, right? I got to get a UGA hat. So here's the deal. If he's available, if he's there, I wouldn't be mad if we got Trayvon. I wouldn't be mad.
Yeah, I just don't think he's going
to
be there.
I know, but if it happens, because you never know, people mess up stuff in the top sometimes. They'd be like, hey, let's get this guy who should be a third-round pick and make him our fifth pick. Things happen, right? Dark horse, Josh Pascal from Kentucky. Okay. As far as edge rusher at that eighth spot. Now, again, staying on the defensive side of things, again, going on the UGA side of things, on the defensive tackle portion, if we were to go there. Now this is only because I just feel that if you had Grady and Jordan Davis, you can't double-team everybody. And if you try to, that's four players for two, right? Somebody's not blocking somebody at that point. So it wouldn't almost matter who your edge rusher is, or even in the middle, or a linebacker, somebody's getting to the quarterback, right? So I kind of would like that if we could, because Jordan Davis is going to be in the first round, but we only have one pick in the first round, right? So I don't know if you would pick him as high as eight necessarily, but I'm just saying, just throwing it out there as far as that goes. So those are at like the eighth spot where I'm kind of leaning towards, because all the other spots I feel we can go a little bit lower and get some of the other players. And again, I guess we could go, you know, position by position. Actually, I kind of planned that. I don't know how much detail you have, so let's go ahead and just throw this up here real quick for you to maybe we can talk about a little bit more in detail. There we go, drafting pass rushers. So what do you think about, you know, either Trayvon or Thibodeau or any others that you thought of as far as possibly, because again, 18 sacks. We need somebody who can get 10 sacks a year. When was the last time we had an edge rusher get 10 sacks a year bonafide, like he was a threat, like in the last, I don't know, decade, really?
With the exception of the fluke year, Mr. Beasley, it's been since John Abraham, since we've had a guy that consistently posts 10 sacks a year or close to it. And, you know, that's just not going to get it done. I agree with you. As far as Trayvon Walker goes, but somehow he's there at number eight. What you do is you knock everybody you can out of the way on the way running that corner. I'm sorry, you know, if one of the old legends there waiting for now to speak, he got to get put on the floor.
Yeah.
You got to get that card up there before somebody changes their mind. You know what I mean? But I just don't think he's going to be there. Other reason why I didn't want to mention too much about Aiden Hutchinson of Michigan, I don't think he's going to be there either.
Yeah.
In fact, both of those guys are the top candidates, but to back up to Trayvon with one time, it's like his situation is so intriguing to me because, you know, he had very good production last year. And that was his first year really having a 6.5 sack type of year, what have you, because Georgia just rotates so many different guys in. And it's like he could possibly go number one in the NFL draft, but I understand it. I mean, when you watch him, you know, his moves, the way he get off the ball, he's got power moves. He's got speed, you know, moves. Quick, I mean, he's got that quick short area quickness too, quick first step burst. You know what I mean? But at the same time, you know, you could make a case oftentimes that he may have been the third best defensive lineman on the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah.
You know, with Jordan Davis, who you mentioned, also along with Jalen Carter, who is still at UGA, number 88, the defensive end for the Dogs, and who I also believe will be a top five draft pick, you know, when he comes out of the NFL draft. So it's quite interesting, but the more I watched him on film and watched, you know, him in the Senior Bowl practices, how quick he's beating this guy reminds me of former Chicago Bear, Richard Dent. That's what he reminds me of. That's my NFL comparison for Trayvon Walker. So I absolutely love to have him. I just don't think he'll be there. If Kevon Thibodeau is there, I'm with you. Let's go ahead and take him if he's there. But it's very possible that, you know, there could be three pass rushers to go before we pick. And so my sleeper in that regard would be a former Georgia Bulldog, and that's Jermaine Johnson, who transferred from the University of Georgia to Florida State. He's more of a pass rush type. He can play defensive end. He can play the stand-up outside. outside rush linebacker like in our defense, 6'5", 254 pounds. Just a very good athlete. Played very well in that Georgia rotation when he was there. But he wanted, you know, that opportunity to shine on his own. And I'm trying to pull up the exact numbers because I don't want to tell anybody wrong. But if I'm not mistaken, he finished with around 11.5 this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, wow.
I'll have that number for you just here in a second. But that is my pass rusher. If the other three, Walker, Hutchinson, Thibodeau is gone. And in fact, you know, they have a chance. They have the benefit when it comes to our brass of seeing some things that we can't see. For example, you and I don't get the opportunity to sit down and look these prospects in the eye, shake their hand, and see what they're really like. If they actually like Johnson better and say they took him and Thibodeau was there, I wouldn't be, you know, up in arms about it. You know what I mean? Because the man is a good player. Okay, I was absolutely correct. Yeah, 33 solo tackles, 37 assists for a total of 70 tackles, 17.5 tackles for loss, and 11.5 sacks on the season.
That's impressive right there.
Yes, sir. So as far as pass rushers go, I really don't see any need to go outside of the guys' names that we've mentioned. I think they'll be there. The other guy who a lot of people like, I'm going to have to see if I can pronounce his name correctly. But he's the guy out of Penn State, George, hold on, I'm going to get it, George Karloftis. George Karloftis.
I saw him too.
Yeah, he's another guy that he's a bigger pass rusher. I think he's going to be a very good guy to set the edge in the run game. But he may be a guy that can get to the quarterback as well. So he would be the last name that I think would even be worth mentioning as far as when you talk about the eighth spot.
Gotcha. Well, we're going to, again, I wanted to lead off with it because, again, we are in the need business in that particular position, and that can, again, when you look at all the other teams, when they have somebody or somebodies, plural, that they can affect that part of the game, that team is successful over a period of time. And again, like you said, eventually we have to stop doing what we were doing as far as building a team and do like the other successful teams. I just don't know how you let 20 years go by and just say, we're just going to kind of just do it kind of just any old kind of way, you know, because there's somebody who has a little bit of an idea about how that can work. I'm going to go ahead and do it because I hadn't done it in a while.
What's that? Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
I'm trying to tell you, Coach Moore. I'm trying to tell you. 646-652-4479. Well, I kind of already let my cat out the bag as far as who I would want. Do you think that Jordan might be available at the 11th pick in the second round, which is 43 overall? Do you think that somehow or another all kinds of crazy things can happen in that end of that first round and maybe he can bump to where he could even possibly be there in our first pick of the second round?
I don't. Now, it is possible, I think, that you would see him slide, you know, maybe into the later 20s. I expect him to go up in the team somewhere, to be honest.
Really? Okay, wow. 15, 16,
17, 18. But not every team values, what a true nose tackle type guy can bring. You know, Jordan is very athletic for his size. I mean, let's get that straight. And he can get to the passer at times. But his main thing is going to be run defense, you know, being just that big anchor in the middle. And, you know, you talked about a double team and, you know, how you can't double team everybody. And the fact is that man, even as a rookie, he is going to command a double team.
Yeah.
Ain't no ifs or buts about that. But somebody just has that much size and that much power, you have to double team that guy. And when you do, so whoever drafts Jordan Davis, they'll be able to put them in the middle of their defense, and they're not going to have to really be super concerned about their run defense as a whole, you know, for the next 8 to 10 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was hoping that somebody didn't get suspended, you know, Pete didn't get suspended for gambling, and we could actually trade him and get another pick up in the mid, you know, first round. And if that was the case, that would have been a Jordan Davis pick for me for certain.
Let me interject real quick. Do you think since we got those two six-round picks that those couldn't be used to bump a little bit and just say, hey, you know, you don't really need that position. Let's kind of make a swap. You think maybe even throw in some money or a player or something like that? You think that's even possible, you know, to kind of move up a little bit?
We rarely see a whole lot of players move on draft night, but I guess it's possible. I think if you see him slide, you know, into the later part of the first round, then I think it becomes easier to move up from early second round to grab him late first round. Now, it's going to probably cost you more than a second round.
I was going to say, I thought about when I said that we're going to have to probably sacrifice, you know, a third, maybe even one of the twos that we got to really do it.
Yeah, you trade your two, and then maybe, like, you know, something else, a third or fourth, you know, to move up from late first to early second. But I definitely think that's a possibility, you know, just to give the numbers on Jordan Davis. He's 6'6" and 340 pounds. Okay. But yet he runs. I mean, he ran better than a lot of quarterbacks ran when it comes to the 40-yard dash. And so definitely a great athlete. And the other thing about him, this, he is a great guy, too. I mean, just a likable guy. Never any character issues, no concerns whatsoever. At UGA, and I tell you, man,
that's why I'm pushing for it. That's why you see, that's all I'm concentrating on, because I'm looking at everything for the next 15 years, possibly, for him to be here still after winning a national championship. That would be just the icing on the cake kind of a deal, and he could be part of this new regime that's coming in and part of that new team to be like, this is how it's going to be from now on type of a deal. So, you know, but let me ask you this. High in the sky, possibly for Jordan, are there any other tackles that you think we could be looking at going into that second round possibly? Because the next position I'm going to be talking about is linebacker, but are there any tackles out there besides him that if we could get them, it'd be worth it to try to get them?
Yeah, I have a couple of tackles I like. And, you know, normally, I'm always objective, don't get it wrong. People are going to work. Normally, people would call me a homer for this, but you really can because we're just putting that much talent into the NFL draft this year. And so my number two tackle is a different style of a defensive tackle, more of your penetrating, you know, shoot the gaps, you know, type defensive tackle, and that's Devontae Wyatt out of the University of Georgia.
Actually, I have his name down, too.
Yeah, 6'2", 307 pounds. Ran the 4-yard dash, the 4.7 4-yard dash, was one of the better players in the Senior Bowl down there in the week in Mobile. And like I said, you really can't take too much into account UGA players' numbers as far as defensive lineman because we won't take so many out. But he did have a couple sacks, 2.5 sacks, 7 tackles for a loss, and he has that quick twitch ability, too. Not as so much as Trayvon Walker does, but he moves very well for, you know, a man of 300 pounds, and he's, like I said, more of a guy who can take on, you know, coming forward between two blockers and get through and make a stop in the backfield as opposed to, you know, just being strictly a run stuffer.
Were you finished? 6'4", 6'5", 2'4", 4'7", 9. Go ahead, Jordan.
And another guy, if you're looking for more of a run-stuffing, you know, anchor-type guy, would be Travis Jones out of UConn. Looking at him as more of a probably third-round pick for us. If we had, you know, I can't remember what the second-round pick is, because we do have two. Maybe the later second-round pick, the third-round pick, if, you know, if we hadn't already addressed it. 6'4", 326 pounds. You know, very good run stuffer, but also able to get to the quarterback a little bit. Had 4.5 sacks, you know, last year from the defensive tackle position. 8 tackles for a loss, 47 overall tackles. So he'd be another guy I'd be looking at, you know, second, third roundish. And I think if you talk about a guy who possibly should be able to get to the quarterback would be DeMarvin Leal out of Texas A&M. 6'4", 290 pounds. Didn't run a really fast 40 at 5 seconds, but, I mean, when you look at the numbers he put up in the SEC, the Texas A&M is an SEC school, he had 8.5 sacks and 14 tackles for a loss. Like I said, definitely more of a penetrating, gap-shooting type guy, but he's a guy that you brought him in on third down and had him rushing next to Grady. You know, he's going to have a problem trying to contain both of those guys coming from the middle.
It's going to be interesting, and again, that's why I mentioned earlier as far as Dean Pease, as far as scheme goes, because the other part of this is going to be coaching and, again, putting people in the best position to succeed, and then for that player to be able to get to the point where he can be available because he knows what he's doing on that field, you know, because that's where I'm thinking about some of the free agents. That's why I mentioned that earlier as well. Some of these guys might get beat out by some of the rookies, possibly. You never know. Again, this is going to be a competition type of a season for sure. This is a team where you, again, we started seeing it last year where, you know what, if you're not going to really perform, if we have an alternative, they're probably going to play. It was never like that before. You know, now some positions, they had to kind of be there because we didn't have no alternatives and we had to just sit and watch it. But in other positions, no. If you aren't going to play right and you couldn't play, somebody else is going to get in there. So I feel that this is going to be definitely that off season where you're going to see mad competition in regards to certain positions. So I think it's going to be fun because we need it at this point, right? 646-652-4479. Now, let's talk about linebackers. Now, of course, I'm not even going to play the music anymore. The Kobe theme, intelligence. Off the scale, IQ. They keep talking about, man, it'll be a perfect match if he can get on the Patriots somehow with Bill Belichick. But I want him here somehow. He'd be an instant impact. He can cover in space. He can defend against the run. He can go sideline to sideline, screens, jet sweeps, the whole 9 yards. And I feel that he would definitely be there in the second round, and we have 2 picks there. So what do you think, Jordan? Do you think that's a possibility that we could snag Dean?
I just don't know. Because the thing about Dakobe Dean, I have heard some people, you know, some of these, you know, so-called draft experts knock him, saying that he's not, you know, extremely fast and that he's not, you know, big enough or whatever. But, I mean, 5'11", 225 pounds, so he's not huge. 4'5", 9'40", that's not slow. You know what I mean? But you said it all when it comes to Dakobe Dean. It's the instincts. It's the play recognition. It doesn't make no difference how fast you are, Duke Riley, if you're running fast the opposite direction that you're supposed to be going.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you have a guy who can recognize, see what the offense is trying to do, you know, kind of sift through all of the different motions and faces that they're throwing at you, trying to throw you off, he can recognize exactly what they're doing and boom, take right off and go get the guy. That's a very valuable skill to have as a linebacker. Now, the one area that you didn't hit, you hit almost every area as far as the things he's good at, is this guy is one of the best blitzing linebackers that I have seen in a long time. I mean, when Georgia would run that double gap, eight-gap blitz with those two linebackers, I mean, he was getting home all the time, forced errant throws, and what have you. So I think that, you know, he'll be an outstanding pick. I don't know if he'll make it to the second round or not, because while some are knocking him, and man, I wish I knew right off the top of my head which scout it was. It may be Daniel Jeremiah, expert type guy. There's one of them on Twitter that's saying, look, y'all can knock this guy for his raw speed, his size. He was like, this guy's going to be a great football player, and that's a hill that I'm willing to die on. I mean, he's the national guy. Tweet this out. And I'm the same way. If you ask me out of all the UGA players, you know, which one is the most safest guy to pick, the one that's going to be successful for sure, for me, it'd be Nakobe Dean.
Yeah.
I agree. I just think he's that good of a football player. And so I find it hard to believe that someone, you know, won't see that as well. And go ahead and take him, you know, late first round, because, you know, like you said, these organizations, like, you know, with guys like Bill Belichick, guys guys like the Steelers always seem to value those type of guys, no matter how many they already have. Boys like the Ravens always seem to value these type of football players. I'd be shocked if he gets in the second round, but I'll tell you the same thing about that as I said about Walker in the first round. If he does, you know, all the old cats got to get out of the way because we're running to the podium with this car.
Yeah, it's going to be again, if there was ever going to be a season where the Atlanta Falcons that play in the state of Georgia draft actually good UGA players, and in this case, they're champion players, this will be the season to do it. So we're going to find out because, again, they're going to be hard-pressed to try to have to explain how come they didn't draft none of those guys. So that's what's going to happen. You know it. And they're, I don't know how they will be able to explain it, but it will be real interesting. Are there any other linebackers, Jordan, before we go to the next category, besides Dean, obviously, that kind of stand out to say it'll definitely be worth a pick to, you know, because, again, with Michael Walker and I'm forgetting person real quick, Rashawn Evans, Debo being there, I still say you need to draft somebody just for the fact that you lost Foyer, and you can. I just think you need to maybe try to get the heir apparent, and because that position is there and plentiful, I think you need to make that move. But is there another linebacker that you see out there that you think would be viable for us?
I do. I see a few actually. Devin Lloyd out of Utah, a very good football player. He had 8 sacks on the year and 24 tackles for a loss, 106. Total tackles for the Utes last season, and I'm gonna do it again. Quay Walker, okay, 6'4", 245 linebacker from the University of Georgia, 4'5", 240, 40 times. He had 6 tackles for a loss in the second half, and 53 tackles overall last year. And yet another guy I like is Channon Tindall from the University of Georgia. So we Georgia has so much talent this particular draft. In fact, when I look at one particular board, because I'm going back and forth, you know, on my notes as well as just looking at what some of the other guys grade these players, when I look at one particular board, they have Dean graded as the first linebacker, and then they also have Georgia Bulldogs as the they have Devin Lloyd as the second linebacker. Then Christian Harris, got Alabama, another guy who's very good as third. But then they have Walker, Orb, and Tindall fifth. You know what I mean? So three Georgia Bulldogs in the top 5 greatest linebackers in this draft. And Christian, to the point, man, to be honest with you, I don't advocate just picking UGA players just because they went to UGA. They have to be the right talent. They have to be the right fit for what you're doing. But the style of defense Georgia plays is pretty much the same style of defense we play here in Atlanta. And I'm to the point now, because we are also offensive players we can use as well, that if Terry Foster doesn't get me at least 2 Georgia Bulldogs, with all the picks we have in this draft, I'm going to be quite disappointed in that, sir.
Going to be playing that all season at this point. 646-652-4479. I definitely concur in regards to that. We have to get a few. I mean, even if they didn't win the national championship, we need to be able to pick a couple of guys, you know, from that roster of really, 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 really good players. So let's talk corners. So we have AJ, and we know we got Casey, and we know we have Oliver. Is it possible that we still would go and look at the draft in regards to getting a cornerback? Because look at who we have after that. Because here's what we have on the roster as of the moment. Let's see if I can pull it up real quick. On the corner, there we go.
Why are you pulling that up real quick? Because I gave stats just about everybody but N'Kobe when I was talking about linebackers. So total, N'Kobe Dean finished with 72 tackles, 36 of those solo, 10.5 tackles for a loss, and 6 sacks. And like I said, it's not like he's a rush linebacker. He's a sideline to sideline linebacker, but 6 sacks just, you know, just gives credit to how good of a blitzer he really is. And keep in mind, when I mention these stats, as always, UGA rotates so many defensive players up front that Georgia's guys aren't playing near as many snaps as a guy from Utah, for example, would probably play.
Exactly. Here's who we have so far. Now, I don't know if this is this. I guess it's correct because it's on the website for the Atlanta Falcons. So we have Darren Hall, Casey Hayward, Oliver, Tease Tabor, A.J. Terrell, Avery Williams, D. Alford, Cornell Armstrong, Corey Ballantyne, Mike Ford, Luther Kirk, Lafayette Pitts, Kendall Sheffield is still on. Oh, let me stop before I get in trouble. And then at safety, we have a couple of people because we just mentioned them earlier. But I'm scrolling down real quick, so give me a second. There we go. Richie Grant, who we drafted last year. Damian Williams. No, that's the running back. I'm sorry. Eric Harris, that's who I was talking about. Jalen Hawkins as well. So with all of that, and you know, some of those safeties might be more on the corner side of things, actually. We have a lot of players there. I don't think all of them will make the roster as well. So do we go out and say, okay, let's see what comes to us as far as possible? Or I would even say this, going back to who you draft at 8, do you go after one of the top corners in college football at the eighth spot rather than pass rusher? Is that even possible? Because then at that point you're talking about folks like Sauce Gardner, and or a couple of other people. So
Derek Stingley Jr.
Stingley, that's who I was thinking about. And there's some late bloomers, I guess you could say, in Elam from Florida, even, Booth from Clemson, they'll probably be in another round. Terry Woolen I got in the third round as far as a cornerback, just in general, because I want to talk corners. But is it even possible that we might go as high as 8 to get a corner?
I think it is possible, Chris, because, you know, we talked about a scenario where possibly 3 pass rushers could come off the board, you know, before we even pick. And so let's say, you know, top 3, Walker, Hutchinson, as well as Thibodeau comes off, and they may not like a Jermaine Johnson, you know, as much as they like the corner overall on their board, then I think in that scenario you do go corner. And because as much as I think Mr. Casey Hayward was a solid signing, he's still only here on a 1-year deal.
Yeah.
So I don't think you would let that, you know, prevent you from taking the corner. And so, yeah, if you feel like the best football player there is 8, you know, then you take a corner. And honestly, I don't think that, you know, personally, now, another guy that's rated pretty high is Trent McDuffie out of Washington, 5'9", 195 pounds. I think he will probably go in the first round, but I don't think he's a top 8 type corner. And so if you do that, it's going to be one of two guys. It's going to be Mr. Ahmad Sauce Gardner, 6'3", 200-pound corner, long arms, able to play press. He's fast, but he also has ball skills. The only thing I worry about with Gardner, he did have 3 interceptions in each one of his 3 seasons at Cincinnati, which isn't bad because oftentimes people avoid, you know, the better corner on a team like that. But one thing about him that I worry about him, though, early in his career, is he does have a tendency to be a little handsy, grab a little bit. And to be honest with you, you were running down names on that roster, and I think you said, like, he offered or something like that, and almost, like, went into combustion.
No, yeah, it wasn't the other person. No. I saw it, too, and I was almost hesitant, but I was like, no, that has a D in front of it. So, you know, I'm all right. So, yeah.
But that's the only concern I have with Gardner. Dan Stingley Jr. is known as probably the best pure man-to-man cornerback in this draft as far as just being able to cover guys. 6 feet, 195 pounds, runs a 4.44, then the 40-yard dash. Has very fluid, he's very fluid, very agile, able to turn his hips and move and run with a wide receiver. The only issue I have with him is his best, most productive year came as a freshman in 2019, played 15 games.
Jordan, your mic just went, did something. It's like you're fading out a little bit. Keep going. Let's see if we can fix it. Actually, let's do this. Let's take a break because right now it's hard to distinguish what you're saying. And it's right up against the hour anyway. So what we're going to be doing, folks, we're going to take a little bit of a break, a little bit of commercial break, as you might say, but not a commercial. We're going to be talking offense in a little bit. So we're going to be talking about all the offensive picks, whether it be wide receiver, running back, offensive line, and see what we're going to do there. We will discuss a little bit more on the quarterback side if you choose to want to listen to that. We'll see about that as far as that goes. But we're going to take a little bit of a break. Don't go anywhere. This is Chris and Jordan on IMTN Worldwide Radio for Around the ATL. This is our 2022 NFL draft show, and hopefully everybody's enjoying it. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
You are listening to Around the ATL with Chris and Jordan. We'll be right back with more Atlanta Sports Talk.
Good evening, everyone. This is Chris on Around the ATL on IMTN Worldwide Radio. We are back after our hour break. We are going into our second hour of the show. We're doing 2 hours of NFL draft talk right now. Very excited. We did not do a show the year before, but we have done shows the previous 2 years to that. So we wanted to try to make sure that we kept things going, trying to get back regular. We haven't been on the air for a long time. Like literally this week is the first time we've done shows in months since January. Okay, so we're just now kind of getting back into the stream of things. So we definitely thank everybody who does watch and listen to the show, because we have the radio show, of course, on Blog Talk Radio. We're airing that live right now at the same time. I'm doing both shows. And, of course, the YouTube channel, which is fairly new. So thanks to all those who have supported. Please subscribe to the page, IMTM Worldwide Radio, the YouTube channel. Definitely do that if you can. I appreciate that and that support. And, of course, you can follow myself and Jordan on Twitter right there, IntellectATL or Jordan23 on Twitter. Jordan23ATL, that is. Make sure you do that. Also on Instagram, IMTM Worldwide Radio on Instagram as well. This is probably Jordan right there. So we've been around for, this is going on our fourth year of being on the broadcast circuit, as you can tell. And we have had some great guests over the years. And that being said, tomorrow night we have a special guest, the face of Hawks Live and Braves Live for the last 15 years, Jerome Jurinovich, will be on the show tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. All right? Well, not tomorrow night. Friday. I forgot what day it was for a second. Friday night, because tomorrow's the NFL draft. But Friday evening at 7 o'clock, we're going to have Jerome Jurinovich. I'm very excited about this particular interview because he's been the face of a broadcast that we've watched for a long time. And he's gotten to see so many great players come through the organizations over the years and headed up great broadcasts of very important games over the years. Now, he just recently retired last year, but he did get to see the Braves win the World Series, and he got his ring, too. I wish I had a ring. By the way, again, the shirt, thanks to the Originative brand. Make sure you go to their Instagram page and hit up Jamal and get you a shirt. Whether it be Hawks-related, Falcons-related, Braves-related, United, he can make it for you, okay? Atlanta Dream as well. Don't forget the Dream. We're going to be talking about the Dream soon on one of our next shows. So, but, yeah, this is a Braves championship shirt from the Originative brand. I really like it, so I just wanted to make sure I gave him a shout-out. But we've been on the air for a long time. We've had all kinds of different guests. Jerome is going to be our most recent one, and Friday night I'm going to announce our next guest, which is going to be next Thursday, but I'm going to leave that to Friday. But we've had some great guests over the years. We've had Dominique Wilkins on the show. We've had John Collins on the show. We've had Bob Rathbun of the show of the Atlanta Hawks, broadcasting for a long time, obviously over 20 years. Steve Holman, the Hall of Famer, has been on the show. We've had just some. I've had Angel McCautry on the show, Olympic gold medalist, former Atlanta Dream basketball player. So we've just had a bevy of people on the show over a period of time, and I hope to continue that. So we'll see what happens. So 646-652-4479 is the number as we get ready to get started into our second half of the show as I'm waiting for Jordan to come back. And we're going to start talking about offense. So the last hour, we primarily talked about Dean Pease and his scheme and how free agency might apply to the draft overall and how that could affect what positions we actually go after per who we did get. But also we talked about how a lot of positions are going to be up for grabs per se. And so at this point, might as well go ahead and get the best player for each position that you can per each round. Because you never know, again, what's going to happen above you that's going to affect everything down below, right? And also, you have all these UGA players that are floating around in cyberspace or in the metal world or whatever that have just won a national championship, and they're really good. And all those players could really probably help us in the short term as well as long term. So we talked about all that. But now we're going to start talking about the offensive side of the ball. So, again, this offseason, we had something very, we didn't know was going to happen right? So Matt Ryan is no longer an Atlanta Falcon. And so one of the initial questions I asked was, you know, what will be the impact of Matt not being here? And then who is a possible QB of the future for the Falcons? Now, in this particular case, since it's the draft, are we going to draft a quarterback or not? I still say no. Well, I still say no, not at eight. Now, we know that there is a long history of quarterbacks being picked not in the first round, not in the second round, maybe not even the third round, but in the fourth, fifth, and sixth rounds and being really good. Well, we know one is a multi-Super Bowl champion in Tom Brady. So it can work, but you got to be able to work it. So would we actually still draft a quarterback or not? I don't know. I say no, because I still think that is not an immediate need at this point, just because of all the other facets that we really need to improve on for us to get a good quarterback at a certain point. Because if you don't fix these things now, it won't matter. We've seen what happened with a Hall of Fame quarterback where we have all these pieces not fixed, and what happened? We did not have good regular seasons, and we didn't get to the playoffs a whole heck of a lot. We don't want to do that with whoever that next possible replacement for Matt Ryan is, who's going to play the next 15 seasons possibly, and then not do anything because we didn't build the actual team like you're supposed to, like all the other franchises out there that are successful have done. You start with that line on the offensive side and the defensive side and the trenches. It pays to do that. You have the solid running game. You know, you have great coach. I mean, there's, again, what are the five things you need to have a successful franchise? You have to have an owner that wants to win and does what's necessary to win. You have to have a great general manager who makes wise decisions over a long period of time. You have to have a good to great coach. You have to have good to great players, and you have to be healthy. And guess what? Over the last 15, 20 years, we haven't had a whole bunch of that, have we? Just being real, right? And now you've completely changed everything by, you know, Matt Ryan is no longer a Falcon. So now you're really rebooting, but you were in the midst of not trying to reboot necessarily because of what the previous regime had done with in regards to personnel and contracts and all that kind of good stuff, whatever, whatever. And then with players missing games for one reason or another, right? It's a lot. It's a lot to ask. But we did improve last year. We did improve last year. We did some things that the previous year wasn't even possible. Right? So incrementally, we're getting better, but again, it's a drastic step back. Taking Matt away, can Marcus be adequate enough to keep things on the up and up, so to speak, depending on what other holes we are going to fill? Again, we do have Pitts here still, right? So that's something. You know, CP is still here. That's something. That's something positive. Again, I'm just looking at the positive side of things right now, to try to get us back into playoff contention, because that has to be the goal. But do you do that with the eighth pick on the offensive side of the ball? Do you do anything offensive side of the ball at that eighth pick? Or just in general, who are you looking at? Who would you want? So let's start that. Let's get my number back up here and check to see if anybody on the radio is holding. 646-652-4479 is the number. No, not yet. And it looks like Jordan is almost back, but I'm going to wait until I actually see him. Let's check and see. I can't see. Give me a pause. All right, so 646-652-4479. And again, thanks for all who do support the show, either now or later, of course, because people will watch this, you know, after the fact and whatnot. So we do appreciate that support over time. Let's go ahead and try to see if we can bring him in. And not just yet. Cool. All right. So for me, I say no. You're not drafting a quarterback with our number eight pick. There's no way you can put us in that kind of position to where you're using up your capital on a position right now where who some of the quarterbacks are that are out there, it's just so hit or miss. It's a how can I say this? It's hit or miss. That's what you have to say. Willis, can he be the guy? Maybe. But in our system, as we're constructed right now, right now we're not in a position to facilitate the grooming of a quarterback. I'll put it to you like that. If this was a different team where you already had a bona fide offensive line, you knew everything that was going to work there, and nobody was going to get hit ever again, and we actually had a bona fide running game where we're going to be able to average 4.5, 5.5 yards per carry to take the pressure off the quarterback, and we actually have more solidified receivers than Pitts, then I would say, yeah, maybe go ahead and roll the dice and see what we can do. But that also goes into where our defense is going to be. All these things would have needed to be addressed already before we get in the quarterback, which is why I say next year is when you get that quarterback, right? You know, so that's how I feel as far as the quarterback position on the offensive side. We'll see what Jordan actually does have an idea as far as what he would want to do. He does have a quarterback in mind. So when he comes back, we'll talk about that. I kind of want to wait for him because the next position would be running back, which, again, we have some in camp already. You know, well, camp hasn't started yet, but you know what I mean. So, actually, we have a caller. Is this him calling in? Let's see. This is him. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead and tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Oh, yes, this is the co-host, Jordan. Checking back in. What's up, sir?
Hey, what's up, Jordan? Hey, by any means necessary, right?
Yeah, man. I don't know what happened. I was all clear, then all of a sudden, it's like the signal just scrambled where I was. And, you know, being that this is around the ATL, I'm actually always somewhere around the ATL. This week, I'm coming to you from the beautiful Cascade area, southwest Atlanta, the SWATs. And
man, Cascade ain't Atlanta, man. Come on.
Oh, that's definitely Atlanta. At least this end of Cascade is Atlanta. Maybe when you go on the other side of Cascade, it's outside of the city limits. But, you know, I don't subscribe to that anyway. If you're part of the metro Atlanta, you're part of the Atlanta country, you're Atlanta to me. You know what I mean? With this, maybe a few exceptions. If Mike Davis don't play a little bit better this year, maybe he's not Atlanta. But I don't know. You talked about quarterbacks, man. I'm personally not a fan of any of the quarterbacks, and I think, you know, that most of these quarterbacks, if they're selected, you may see a protest outside of Flowery Branch, probably outside of Mercedes-Benz Stadium also, in particular, if they take a guy like, for example, Kenny Pickett, at number 8. I think fans would be very upset. Mainly because he's similar to the style quarterback we already had, maybe a little bit more mobile. But I think most of the fans, you know, are pretty much have their heart set on getting a mobile quarterback. You know what I mean? Now, me personally, I believe the quarterback's first job is to distribute the football to the talent. But if he's mobile to escape a little pressure, that's pretty good too. So there is one quarterback I like in this draft, and that's Mr. Malik Willis, the quarterback out of Liberty. It's just always a interesting proposition when you're talking about taking a quarterback from a smaller school like that because they didn't see SEC competition. They didn't see that type of, you know, anything near the NFL speed on defense at that smaller school. But that doesn't mean that quarterback is not going to work out. Josh Allen went to a very, you know, small school, the same division that Malik Willis played in. You know what I mean? And he is one of the best, absolute best quarterbacks in the entire NFL. So, you know, with that being said, you know, Malik Willis, not only is he a mobile quarterback, but he also has the big arm. He can throw that ball, you know, 60 yards on a rope. If you had a chance to watch any of his combine workout stuff, I mean, on the move, turn, stop and pivot on a dime and drop the ball 60 yards down the field right into the receiver's hands. And one of the other things I like about this kid is he's just a great character kid, man. I mean, just a very nice guy. He's a competitor, but just a very nice guy, already doing stuff, you know, community-wise, charity work, you know what I mean? even in college. I mean, and it was one situation where I think it was at the Combine, if I'm not mistaken, that he was seen just buying some meals and, you know, handing them out to some homeless people, and he didn't have no camera crew over watching him do it, you know what I mean? He just happened to get spotted doing it. It wasn't something that was set up for publicity. And so he checks all of the boxes, to be honest with you. I agree with you, Chris, that I would prefer that this team would probably stay away from quarterback one more year. I think this team needs to be built up among the trenches, offensive and defensive lines, as well as adding some more weapons in order to give this quarterback a chance, whoever the next quarterback is, a chance to be successful. Also like, you know, next year's quarterback class overall better. But the fact of the matter is, Chris, is it only takes for a GM to fall in love with one quarterback and that quarterback to be there. And it's a possibility that he'll be drafted. Every year we always see quarterbacks rise higher than what, you know, everybody thought that they would be drafted as. So it wouldn't surprise me if they took a quarterback. I've also heard them connected to Matt Corral out of Ole Miss, even though I think that, you know, he may be more somebody they're looking at second or third round. I've also heard the Falcons connected to Desmond Ridder out of Cincinnati, you know, not sure if they would pull the trigger on him at 8 or wait into the second round. So I agree with you, Chris, but I also would not be shocked if Malik Willis is still on the board and the Falcons would take him, particularly if some of the other pass rushers that we mentioned and some of the offensive linemen that we're about to mention are already off the board.
So, sorry about that, Jordan. I had to have a little emergency there. 646-652-4479. I definitely appreciate you bringing that up because that was my whole point in regards to the quarterback situation and not being ready to have a quarterback here yet. We're not in that situation just yet. We're not blessed with enough talent to be competitive to bring in someone and then have them get either hurt because we can't protect them, or not be competitive and break their spirit because we're just terrible. Okay, that would be bad. You know, having a Hall of Fame quarterback and being able to maneuver all that is one thing. Having somebody who's not played in the NFL before is a totally different ball game. So next year, yeah, let's go for it. You know, so we're going to see what happens sooner than later. Let's talk about running backs because that's part of the game that can help. Say it again.
Before you move on, just to add, you know, it's two regrets I have with Matt Ryan not being here. Number one is the fact that he's leaving here without a ring, and he should have one. There's no reason he shouldn't have one. He played well enough to get one. But number two is that he's not going to be here to at least mentor the next quarterback for 1 year, because when you're talking about work ethic, when you talk about study habits, you know, I can't think of too many quarterbacks that would be better for a young quarterback to learn up under. You know what I mean? So that's just a shame. I do agree with you that I think we should wait. But even if we were to take Malik Willis, you know, you can't start him in year one. I just don't think you can go from that level to starting your first season. You know what I mean? That's not to say maybe that if he was here and things went awry and he showed to be a quick study that he couldn't start, you know, maybe the last six games or the last seven games of the season or something to that effect. But I definitely don't think that you throw him out there to the wolves from day one, because you have seen that happen with quarterbacks. For example, David Carr, brother of Raiders quarterback Derek Carr, he was one of the best, you know, quarterback prospects of his time, number one overall draft pick. But I think the fact that he was sacked a record number of times his first two seasons for a rookie quarterback, it really messed him up, and I think it's what caused him to be kind of shell-shocked and see ghosts when it comes to, you know, thinking the pass rush was there that wasn't even there.
Yeah, there's not that many, you know, who are rookies who get to be put in that position. You know, Matt Ryan was one of them, obviously. He started from the jump. I believe, wasn't Joe Shiesty one? I believe he started right off the bat, but he got beat up a little bit there. And, you know, there's some others over a period of time, but most, they do take a year or two to get in there. So I don't, again, I just don't think we're structured enough to do that just yet. But as I was about to mention, one of the things that could kind of help with that transition would be to have a running game. And so right now, with our running situation as it is, now actually at the very beginning of the show, we talked about free agency and some of the moves that we made, and one of them was at running back. But on the on the running back side of things, where do you think we might go? Because here's my idea. Of course, now you already know what's about to happen, right? James Cook. James Cook is UGA national championship running back, right? So, and he would be probably available at a round where we'll have one of those available picks, because we do have two third-round picks and one fourth-round pick, just in case. So he would be probably available, and he knocks off all the things that you would need as far as what we don't have right now. And I'll go ahead and be honest, he's going to be better than Mike Davis right off the bat by default. So on the running back side, that's just one of the guys that I was looking at. Now, there are some others I believe that could be viable. I think I picked out Tyler Badie from Missouri, Jerome Ford from Cincinnati, possibly. He might be fifth round somewhere in there. But is there a guy, Jordan, that you think of where on the running side of the ball could really help this team be more dynamic, catching passes, but they can do the dirty work too. They can make sure that they catch their blocks. And then at the end of the day, they can fall forward. We get that extra yard when needed and just be there on a regular basis. Because, again, with Patterson being back and being another running back, but also might be put in that X-factor mode, we're going to need somebody who we can rely on who can make a move or two, too, to get their own yards if they have to, in case the offensive line is still not great. We need somebody, because all the other teams seem to have that person, and we just never do for whatever reason. So James Cook is my guy. Who do you have?
Well, there's also another Georgia running back in the draft as well, Lamir Seuss White, more of a power style back, 6 foot tall, 215 pounds, but he can move as well. Now, he has had some knee injuries in the past, but has been healthy, you know, the last couple of seasons, playing very well for Georgia, averaged 5.3 yards per carry. And in 2019, not necessarily the best pass catcher, but I'm thinking that he has a little bit more ability than he's shown there. When you have a guy like James Cook, that's a, you know, an outstanding pass rushing back, you know, you got to kind of split the roles up. There are a lot of good backs in this draft, though. Kenneth Walker out of Michigan State. He may be a little bit too early for my liking, because I really prefer to load up on, you know, the trenches and corner positions like that in the first three rounds. But he could possibly slip into the fourth round. Now, I wouldn't have any problem with taking him, you know, in the fourth round or somewhere like that. Other guys who I like in this draft, that's not my stuff is messing up, but give me one second, Chris. Oh, Isaiah Stiller, Texas A&M. Another guy that's got a pretty good blend of speed and power. I watched their game when they beat Alabama, gave Alabama their only regular season loss. He was outstanding in that game against Alabama's defense. It was really impressive to me in that regard. Also, let's see who else I had on here. I had a sleeper running back here. Here we go. Rashad White out of Arizona State is a guy who I like, who I saw on film. Very quick, very agile. Guy who I think, you know, ran a 4.4, 8.40. So a guy who I think can take it to the house. I need to verify this 40 time on Zamir White, because when I just looked and said he ran a 4.4.
I saw that too, and I tried to go to a couple of different sites to see if it was different somewhere else, but I'm like, well, if that's the truth, I mean, you know, you might have to think about that a little bit there. So,
right. So, you know, I hate to, you know, be that guy to mention all of UGA guys, but, I mean, we really just have that much talent in the draft, you know, and that's like I say. That's not to say there aren't other guys. Another guy, there could be a late round option. Kenny Brooks, running back out of Oklahoma. Didn't really get utilized a lot in the passing game, but showed, you know, a lot of good power in the run game, a lot of ability in the run game. You know, some people say he should have went back to school, but like I said, there again, you know, if he's there sixth round, something like that. Because one of the things about running back, that is one of the positions that if you find the right guy that fits your blocking scheme, you can have success from a six-round draft pick. Starting running back last season, Elijah Mitchell out of Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss. I'll tell you what, I mix up other players from Ole Miss or Miss State all the time. I'm pretty sure it's Ole Miss, though. And he did very well. Six-round draft pick. Became the starter after their regular starter got hurt and was a force for them. So I don't really want to spend too premium on a pick on running back, but I definitely think that there are a lot of, you know, sleepers out there that could really help this football team. You definitely need to give one.
Yeah, I think 646-652-4479 is the number, of course. I think we have to, just on the basis of, I just don't see how you go another season with either, do you believe in these guys that you got? Are you going to play them or not? Are you going, or, you know, what's going to happen? Because they're on the roster a period of time, and it's like somebody else needs to come in and do something, because we have to get some kind of a constant running game going again to be competitive. Because, again, Marcus Mariota or Mariota, whatever, tomato, tomato, whatever, but he's not going to survive that long if we can't run the ball at all, because, again, everybody's going to be going by what we did the previous year, and we didn't really run the ball last year either. So we know what happened with Matt. So Marcus is not Matt. So we gotta figure out something on that end, which in that case, unless you have some other running backs to speak of, there is a very important thing that we have to try to figure out sooner than later, and that's the offensive line. Okay, so at this point, I don't even really want to mention the names of the deficiencies. I really don't want to go there. I saw this one picture of somebody bulking up, apparently. And I'm like, I couldn't even bulk up last year. But, oh, well, okay, cool, whatever. But on the offensive side, now this is where your draft picks are really going to come into play a little bit, to say between 4th, 5th, and 6th, where do you have some offensive linemen in the falling? Because there are actually some really good offensive linemen in this particular draft. Okay, so I'll let you start first in this case, as far as, are there any offensive linemen, whether it be on the tackle side or otherwise, that you think could be viable to plug and play right off the bat? Because one thing I will say, we need to be able to get an offensive lineman that's ready to play. Am I still on? What happened there?
Good evening, everybody. What's going on?
Until showtime.
Hi.
Jordan, are you still on?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I just figured out what happened. That was kind of scary, folks. We're alive still. I'm trying to do two shows at the same time with the radio and the live video on YouTube. And I don't know what happened there, but I think I'm back. So I forgot my thought, so you go ahead, Jordan, as I try to fix this.
Actually, sir, there are three offensive linemen that I feel like are worth considering at the number 8 pick, honestly. Now, obviously, I don't expect all three still to be there at number 8. Somebody's going to take a tackle above us. Could be two of them gone above us. But Evan Neal out of Alabama is one guy. I mean, just a massive offensive tackle, of, you know, 350-pound guy, very good run blocker, but also holds his own, very agile for a guy of his size, yeah, 350 pounds, like I said, not necessarily a fast guy, but able to move his feet well to cut off speed rushers. I do think he may have a little issue with the best speed rushers in the NFL, if you put him in there right away, but I do think he's going to be a good football player. And for both of these top two tackles, they're bigger guys. And so I think that they have the added bonus. Obviously, I don't think you want to take an interior lineman that high, but if these guys don't work out like you one or two at tackle. I think both, either one of them could be outstanding guards. The second one is Akeem Ekwonu out of North Carolina State, 6'4". This has him listed at 320, but I've seen him listed as high as around 330, 335. Like I said, very big guy. This guy is a power blocker in the run game. I mean, if he latches onto you, he will carry your defensive end 15 yards down the field with the play, you know, and still be blocking it with the whistle as long. And this guy, he has a bit of a mean streak about it, which is never a bad thing when you talk about an offensive lineman and the guy who sees a particular quarterback. So he's another guy I think that's worth picking. And the third guy is Charles Cross out of Mississippi State, 6'5", a little bit lighter than those guys at 310 pounds, but I think he's the best of the three as far as just a pure pass blocker, a guy that can move and cut off speed rushers. If anything, he'll probably have to adjust more to some of the full rushers, you know, being a lighter guy as opposed to the speed rushers. I think he can hold his own at that from day one. So either one of those guys be worthy of consideration. Like I said, I don't expect all three to be there, but I think any one of them could possibly be there depending on what other team is looking for in a tackle or offensive lineman. And so I wouldn't be mad at all.
Yeah.
Those were my picks at number eight. Go right here, Chris.
No, I was just going to say 646-652-4479. I was just waiting for you to give me somebody who's like 375 pounds or somebody. Because, again, if I see one more drafted player who's like 297 pounds, I'm going to go crazy. So we got, if you're going to pick that high offensive line, it got to be the best of the bunch for sure. On my end, I would say I wasn't thinking about that high necessarily. I saw a few who, not so much stood out, but just on the basis of where they might be in the draft. So I saw Tyler Smith from Tulsa, of course, UGA. Now, I'm kind of speculative of him, Jamari Taylor from UGA.
I like him.
Okay, so there's some things I read. I was like, I don't know, but with right coaching, he could be the man, right? And then one more person, I believe I'm pronouncing this right, Bamidele Omosini from Utah. Pretty big guy there. Because, again, I'm just looking at strength and power. I'm not going to sing the rock song. I might get sued. But I'm looking at it from that standpoint alone almost to where, like you mentioned it, the mean streak part. You're supposed to protect your quarterback. If he's on the ground, somebody put him on the ground, you need to do something about that next play, right? And you also need to make sure you get the quarterback up off the ground. What are you doing, sir? So we need to be able to have that element because we really haven't had that in a few years for sure because we used to have some grimy guys, but they're all gone, right? So we need to be able to replace those guys at this point and then accentuate what we do have because we do have some guys who are pretty decent. You know, there are some minor improvements in certain places during the season as adjustments were made. But we really need to get this finalized because, again, like you said, next year we might be drafting that quarterback of the future. Go ahead.
Yes, the thing about Jamari Sawyer, I like Jamari, but my thing with Jamari, I don't like him as a tackle. Now, he played somewhere everywhere at UGA, tackle and guard, but I think in the NFL his best position is going to be guard. But he's a powerful man, another guy who doesn't mind mixing it up.
Yeah.
Part of it.
That's why I picked him out.
Right. So I have no problem taking him. I wouldn't take him at number eight or anything like
that.
Oh,
no. This was later in the rounds, yeah.
Right. Later in the rounds, I'd have no problem drafting Jabari to play guard. A couple of other tackles I had that were kind of sleeper-type guys was Darren Kennard out of Kentucky, another guy that's got a little bit of weight on, 324 pounds, 6'5". Like I said, played that SEC football. The guy by real sleeper, offensive tackle, and shout out to our guy who's been on the show before, Kevin Keneally, because he put me onto this guy, and he showed me some tape. And his name is Abraham Lucas out of Washington State. 6'6", 322 pounds. He's another guy he's just a massive blocker.
Yeah, he sounds scary.
Say it again?
I say he sounds scary.
He's one of those guys who's what they say to the echo of the whistle. And in fact, in one of the tapes that the film that our guy Kevin Keneally showed me, he, like I was just talking about with the guy from North Carolina State, there's literally film of him taking a guy and carrying him about 15 yards down the field. You know what I mean? And then just putting them into the dirt, and then shortly after the whistle blows. And so those guys with those mean, nasty streaks that also have the size, but also have the agility, are the type of guys like I'm thinking somewhere around third or fourth round for Lucas. But when I saw Phil, I wouldn't be surprised if he snuck up to the second round with some team, because if I like what I saw, some scout had to like it too. I wouldn't be mad if we took him with one of our second round picks if we don't go tackle in the first, you know, at number eight. So there's definitely a lot of good options. At the offensive line spot, I think we need a tackle and a guard per se. I mean, honestly, the center is very good as well. The top center, Tyler Lindenbaum, he's not the biggest, he's not the biggest lineman in the world, but he's a tactician. He kind of reminds you a lot of Chris Lester, in fact, just the fact that he's just solid technique, always has his hands in the right place. Tyler Lindenbaum is his name, very much like Chris Lester. And if I'm not mistaken, Chris Lester has a brother in his draft, too.
Correct.
If I'm not mistaken as well. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be too messed up if they picked him, because – you know, that could work, possibly. What I'm looking at more so than anything, though, is this, again, protection and the run game, and can you get those in sync? Plus, with our second year with Smith there and running his offense, can we, again, plug and play enough to where, again, we thought we were going to have Matt. We don't. So that does change some things there as far as the plan. But with a competent quarterback at the very least, and we get some pieces around him, you can make any quarterback look like a Super Bowl winning quarterback, because there's plenty of Super Bowl winning quarterbacks out there like Nick Foles and a whole bunch of others who didn't have to do a whole heck of a lot, just not make mistakes, and everything else can take care of itself. Or that last year of Peyton Manning with the broken neck almost, right? Or all the other quarterbacks who did have the greatest Super Bowls of all time, but the rest of the team did. And if we can start getting towards that, then we'll be much better as a team overall. So, again, O-line is definitely something. Will we pick two offensive linemen in the draft? I don't know. That might be – it's possible. We have enough picks to do it technically and still get our defensive players. So I think it could happen. So we're going to find out. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think you take too high, but I do think that it's a good idea to take at least one tackle and one guard. And I don't want to just mention the tackles, because I know that's the more – if you can call anything on the offensive line glamorous, that would be considered a more glamorous position, especially left tackle. But there are some very good guards in this draft. Kenyon Green out of Texas A&M, another SEC guy, 6'4", 320 pounds. He has played some tackle as before. Wasn't terrible when he played tackle, but when they moved him to guard, he really took off and played his best football. Dion Johnson, guard out of Boston College, 6'3", 314 pounds, not as big a guy, but very, very talented guy. The one guy he mainly struggled with, though, was my guy Jermaine Johnson, who I mentioned as a pass rusher. He did do a number on Dion Johnson, but other than that, he played very well. You got Luke Goki out of Central Michigan, 6'5", 318 pounds. And I don't know what it is, for some reason, but Central Michigan always seems to put out some pretty, you know, decent offensive line prospects. And I can't talk about guards without doing it again. We do have another Georgia Bulldog that's the candidate at the guard position, and that's Justin Schaefer, 6'4", 326 pounds. Run blocking is his specialty. He likes to maul guys in the run game. He will need some work, you know, when it comes to refining his pass blocking technique. But, you know, I say around the fourth or fifth round, you know, if you took a guy like that, wouldn't be disappointed at all. At least you know, that he's been coached up right and at least knows about how to get the right effort, because, you know, Kirby Smart, he doesn't even play. If you don't got that effort type guy, you're not going to play with us.
Yeah.
Not very long.
Man, I swear the Bulldogs need to be sponsoring us tonight, I tell you. So that being said, we're going to get into our last subject matter as far as this the preview of the draft for tomorrow. We're going to talk about some wideouts. And I went on and played the music because guess what? I'm going to mention another UGA Bulldog. His name is George Pickens. I believe this is a player where, again, Calvin is not here and probably won't ever be again. We still really, you know, with Pitts being here, is he the pseudo replacement for Julio, or is Pitts just Pitts, right? Because now we technically got to replace Calvin. So do we get a wide receiver on that basis, or are we just getting a fill-in? Because right now, let me go ahead and pull up. This is who we have as far as our wideouts on the current roster as on the schedule right now. So Damier Bird, Frank Darby, Chad Hansen. I don't even know who that is. wait a minute, is that Cordell Hodge, Auden Tate, Austin Trammell, and Zacchaeus is here. And that's it. Okay, so I guess I answered my own question right there. Yeah, we need to draft a wide receiver because more than likely a few of these people, these guys, these players, unfortunately, are not going to be here at the start of the season. So I feel that in this case, we do need to fill a need because, again, you didn't anticipate all that was happening with Calvin to have transpired, right? And we got to be able to get somebody on that field where Kyle Pitts is not going to get triple teamed basically every snap. That kind of has to stop. And even with CP being here, and he's not going to be playing all snaps at wide receiver. It'd be different if it was him and Pitts lined up all the time and a third guy, but that's not going to be the case. Most of the time, Patterson's going to be in that backfield as of right now, again, depending on how things pan out. So I think definitely a wide receiver has to be a viable option. As far as where you pick them at, not sure. But besides Pickens, you do have I picked out a couple of other guys, David Bell out of Purdue. And although I know I'm not supposed to do this, I know we said we would never do it again. I'm going to go ahead and play it to myself.
Congratulations. You played yourself.
Maybe we should think about John Michie from Bama. I'm going to just go ahead and throw it out there just for the heck of it. I don't know, but he's on the radar a little bit just because of the principle of it all. But who do you have, Jordan, in regards to possible wideouts for the Falcons in the draft?
You mentioned the Alabama receivers, and I know, that's the prevalent thing around here. Falcons go, yeah, we need to take another Alabama receiver, but I can't deny I like both of the Alabama receivers in this draft. Now, I do believe Jameson will go in the first round. Jameson Williams will go in the first round. But he did tear his ACL or what have you, so if he would have somehow fallen into this one of those second-round picks, I couldn't be mad with him because I think he has the opportunity to be the best wide receiver in this draft. I mean, let's be honest.
Oh, here, this draft, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest here, and I hate to admit it, but it's okay now because we got him back.
Well,
that first football game in the SEC title game, that kid ate all lunch, man. I mean, he was smoking us.
Yeah.
Like, big time. So I wouldn't be mad at all. Also, do like me, John Michie, like you said, very polished guy. Another guy I like is another SEC kid, Traylon Burks out of Arkansas. You know, may still be a little bit too high, but I really want to go for a receiver. But if he was there with maybe our second-round pick or third-round pick, and they felt like he was the best player available, how can you be mad with that? As you mentioned, George Pickens, definitely a guy I wouldn't mind taking second or third round. Honestly, he's just a legend for throwing Georgia Tech players in the walls anyway, to be honest with you. But he does have the talent. He's able to go up a high point of football, has very good body control. Guys, you can throw a jump ball, to get to the end zone, and he can go get it. Now, if you're looking for more of a smaller guy that you can play in the slot, undersized guy, we got guys like that. But I don't think that the guys we have are as dynamic as Waddell Robinson, wide receiver out of Kentucky. Only 5'8", but runs a 4.4 40. A guy that you could give the jet sweep to, a guy that you could throw the screen passes to, a guy that could give those option routes to in the slot, and he's going to be able to get separation over his on his man most of the time, and possibly turn a 5-yard pass into a 25-yard gain. There's a lot of wide receiver talent in this draft, to be honest with you. It just depends on where we want to go. Obviously, you know, I think we got to take at least one wide receiver with our picks. Just for what you read, you know, on that depth chart, it just depends on, you know, I guess where your board is at the time, you know what I mean, and who else is on the board, as opposed to where you go with wide receivers. I really don't have a problem taking wide receiver anywhere, but especially number 8 and probably the first pick of the second round. I really don't want to mess with receiver there, unless maybe Jameson Williams, if he falls there, I could see it being worth it. But other than that, I think, you know, after those two picks, I won't really be upset at all if they take, you know, a dynamic receiver with one of those picks.
646-652-4479 as we get close to wrapping up the show tonight. Definitely, again, that's why I had to read who we had, because you had to actually hear it, you know, to be like, man, this is where we're at right now. And again, we didn't know Matt was not going to be here. If Matt was here, it might be a little bit different, because Matt is Matt and he's going to get the ball to whoever. And if we were able to improve some of those other spots, you never know. We might have a breakout star of some sort, but not with Marcus back there. We need to get somebody else to help out right now. So go ahead, Jordan. You got another point?
Well, one other guy, too, who I forgot to mention. He didn't necessarily have the best college career. He was having some injury issues, but he did show some flashes. And that's Justin Ross out of Clemson, a big 6'4", 205-pound wide receiver, you know, jump ball type guys you can throw it up to. And this guy, he was a very high recruit. Coming out of high school, like I said, he had some issues. In fact, he had a spinal injury, I think, his freshman year, but was able to, you know, bounce back from it. So, you know, if he's a guy that did and made sixth round or something like that, you know, coming out of high school, he had first round type talent or second round type talent. So I certainly wouldn't mind seeing the guys that take a flyer, you know, of a guy like that late in the round. But as I said, so much talent in this draft overall. And, you know, obviously, the way things have gone, you know, over the last 2 years, my focus has been on SEC football, ACC football, you know, the bigger college ball. I haven't had the opportunity to just sit around, you know, on a Saturday like I used to and watch, you know what I mean, Boise State versus Colorado State. So I'm sorry there's some, you know, some very good football players that I'm not mentioning, you know what I mean, that we also see some excellent players.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be exciting. We've been waiting for this for a while. You know, we've been talking offline where it just seems like this has been the longest period of time up to a draft of all time. And it's just strange. And now we're finally here. So we needed this to happen, obviously, but it's going to be exciting. You know, this is a new regime officially now with Matt not being here. And how we pick up the pieces from not having him be able to go out in style, like you said, he should have been had a ring here. And the organization didn't do right by Matt Ryan. And now he's over at an organization that basically gave him a whole team, you know. So now we're going to find out, is Matt who we think he is, at least some of us, or not, you know. But a lot of stuff still has to happen, but he's definitely on a better team than he was here. So at least he has that to go off of, you know, into the sunset, proverbially. But we're going to see what we can do as Falcons this year. I feel with, you know, Pease and Smith, they do have something cooking. They do have pride in what they're doing. They do have demands of excellence. And, you know, they're taking what was given to them, and they're going to work it out. And that is a lot more than what we had the couple of years before, because we kind of like, I don't want to get into the Hawks talk that much, but we had a system that couldn't adjust ever, you know, and we had to sit and take it. And we would have leads and nothing would adjust. We would have deficits and nothing would adjust. And it was year after year and game after game. And finally, too late, you get rid of that. And it's like, now, but look at what has happened since then. You know, if that had been changed way long ago, we'd be in a better position, obviously. So it's going to be a fun night, and, you know, we do have picks, and, you know, every draft has that surprise. And, again, it's going to be – Who has the Jazz, right, who has the number one pick, right?
Yes.
You never know. So
I'll make a prediction. The Jazz are going to take Trayvon Walker number one overall. That's my prediction. You know what I mean? And I could be wrong with that, but something tells me what they're going to see what I saw on film, and they're just going to be like, wow. Even though this guy didn't have 15 sacks, like, this guy is just incredible on film. We can't pass this guy up there. So that'll be my prediction for their pick. Trayvon Walker, number one overall. You too.
That's going to be something right there if that goes down. So that being said, everyone, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up for tonight. I'm glad that, you know, we were able to get on the air. So those who are listening on Blog Talk Radio, appreciate it. Those who will end up watching the YouTube, definitely appreciate it. Of course, make sure you follow on YouTube, IMTN Worldwide Radio, the channel, and subscribe. And then also follow us on Twitter, Intellect ATL, and also Jordan23 at ATL, and the show page, IMTN Radio on Twitter as well. Follow on Instagram, IMTN Worldwide Radio as well. Remember, it is Wednesday still. Friday at 7 o'clock, we have our interview with Jerome Durinovich, the legend. He recently retired. He is the face of Braves Live and Hawks Live for over 15 years, multiple Emmy-winning journalist for the Atlanta market. So we're definitely
excited. 40 years, of course, meeting.
Overall, yeah, definitely. He knows everything to know of everything. So we're going to try to dig in and maybe get some secrets and start some controversies as we like to do sometimes. I didn't tell him that yet, but he's going to find out. So that's Friday at 7 o'clock. So definitely share and make sure everybody that you know who loves watching him on TV over the years. And, you know, he got his ring, too, by the way. Don't forget that. We're going to make sure. Hopefully he'll wear it. I don't know if he's going to be on camera or not, but we'll kind of find that out. He kind of asked about that the other day. I forgot to tell you that. But anyway, that's another story. So anyway, Jerome Durinovich will be on, and Friday we'll be announcing another interview that we'll have next week that's going to be pretty cool as well. So, Jordan, any final thoughts before we get ready to sign off for tonight?
I got a couple things real quick.
Go ahead. You got
number one, y'all lay off of my point guard. Okay, lay off of my star point guard. Kobe without help failed. Michael Jordan without help failed. Pretty much every Allen Iverson failed without him. LeBron James failed without him. Pretty much every great star has failed without help. And pretty much every great star has failed before they have succeeded, with the exception of Magic Johnson, who was Finals MVP his rookie year. Lay off my point guard. Number two, coach, call timeout sometimes. Okay? Call timeout. And why are you saving a challenge when you can't take it all season with you and the guy who's really just fouled out? Okay, that's all I got to say on that.
Congratulations. You played yourself.
Terry Fontenot, I know you're listening. Two Georgia Bulldogs, sir. I need at least two, okay? If I don't get at least two, if we don't get at least two, then I'm going to have to start calling you undercover brother.
Hey!
In a faint heart if I don't get at least two. So with that being said, sir, that's all I have. You know, always thank you everybody for listening to the show. It certainly is always a blast, Chris, to do the show with you. And last but not least, as I always end the show, I got to thank God for giving me this air that I breathe. Talk about these Atlanta, these Georgia sports that I love. Stay calm down.
All right, guys. So we're going to be on the air much more regular. And we're excited about that. We're pushing. You know, tonight was our second show this week. Friday is going to be our third. And then we're going to take a break. But then we're going to come back again with even more shows. So be looking out. Again, it's been a while to where we've been regular. And I know we've lost a lot of fans just because we just haven't been on. And most of you know the whys or whatnot. We'll bring it up again maybe another time. But, again, thanks for all who do support and watch and everything. And we'll be on again real soon. That being said, y'all take care. Peace. Thank you.
Thank you.